This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 Nanaimo.
Last Thursday, we began a three-week-long series called From Compassion to Action, leading up to National Volunteer Week, April 19th to the 25th. Each week, we've been interviewing volunteers who spend their time contributing to our community and making a difference. We're joined in the studio by Canadian Red Cross volunteer Linda Sampson.
Hi.
And Jim Eagles, a volunteer Hello. With Habitat for Humanity. Welcome, Hi. Guys.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
So, Linda, why don't you begin by telling us about your experience with volunteering?
Well, I've been a volunteer since I was 14 years old, and I'm 57 now, so I've enjoyed volunteering along the way. But here and right now, I'm with the Red Cross in Nanaimo, and I've been there for about a year, and I just love it. The people are wonderful. They're kind, and what we do in Nanaimo, the part I'm involved with, is medical equipment. People come in, borrow the equipment. And it's on loan. It's strictly free of charge. And they get to use it for if they've come home from the hospital or if they're in need for temporarily trying something out by prescription, by the doctor, by the medical practitioner. It's a lot of fun to be able to help, you know.
It is. We had some statistics last week. I think something like 64% of the population of Nanaimo volunteers in the age group from 15 to beyond retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jim, what about your experience?
I'm a relatively recent in the volunteer world in that I just retired. So,
okay.
I mean, did the old soccer coaching and so on when I was younger, But now that I have some time, it's actually great to be able to do things. And one of my hobbies is, fixing up houses and so on. So it was a natural fit for me to get involved with Habitat. And I'm also interested in the international aspect of Habitat as well. So it fills a lot of interest for me as well.
Perhaps you could describe what the organization is about.
Yeah, Habitat builds homes for families who would not normally be able to own a home. It's a bit different than some people imagine in that we don't try and house homeless people. We're aimed at a slightly different segment. It's a typical client would be someone, a single mother, for example, one that we just completed in Ladysmith. The young lady has two children, and the one young boy has some disabilities. So their housing needs were a bit more complex, and we were able to build a beautiful house for them with a view, and it's just a beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful spot in Ladysmith. And when the family, we had the dedication ceremony last week, and the family moved in, and it was an incredibly emotional, exciting moment for them. We had the mayor there and all kinds of dignitaries, and it was just absolutely a wonderful occasion.
Where does the money come from?
A very good question.
Always a good question.
Habitat operates across the country and around the world, what we call the Habitat Restore. And what Restore does is we accept donations of building supplies that are either left over from somebody's building project, or it's a used building item of some sort, taps or windows. Or whatever. And we clean them up, fix them up, make sure that they're working okay, and then they go into the Restore, which is up on Mostar. And we have it's a retail store. People come in and buy these used building items, and that's how we fund the building project. So it's again, from my point of view, being interested in the whole building thing, it's really cool because there's all kinds of neat building materials that come in there. That and it's also this I found working in the store is really interesting as well, because the people feel welcome there. It's different from sort of going to Home Depot in that mm-hmm. we treat the people differently, and we get people come back time and time again, and they just like to hang around the store, see what's new, and they're accepted. And it's also we also have people come there as volunteers who have disabilities, and they will price items, or they'll package up bags of nuts and bolts for resale, things like that. So it gives them an outlet of things that they can do that make them feel useful. And we treat them really nicely, and it's just a really cool atmosphere.
You make me want to dash down there right now.
Yeah. It's a big kind of community aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Linda, I'm amazed at the role it
Linda
plays.
Sampson, you mentioned earlier when you mentioned a very lengthy volunteer career that you've had.
Yes.
Now, I'm wondering if over the years that you've volunteered, have you detected some changes, let's say, in volunteer experience or the way that volunteers are incorporated into organizations? Or what have you noticed within yourself even over that long period of time?
I think it's very fulfilling inside. You know that you're helping people and you're doing something for them to assist them feel better. It's in the Red Cross, there's the concept you're helping those that can't help themselves. And it's a really good sense of give and take. And because I'm also disabled, I get resources that help me now at my age. So it's kind of a full circle type of thing. I like it. It's in the Red Cross, it's more of a neighbor helping neighbor sense. And it's always a joy when people will say, well, how much does it cost to rent these things? And you get to say, it's free to the community. There's no cost. And this look of disbelief, and they'll say, well, how do you manage? And we say, we love donations. And, of course, right now we're taking the donations for the Italy earthquake. So, again, people are much more aware of what's going on in the world. And as opposed to a few years ago when, I was working with the JCs, and it was very much a local community. It wasn't so much international. And that's what I've noticed the difference.
The large tsunami that they experienced really brought that to the fore, I think, because it was so on TV all the time, and the Red Cross was a pretty formidable part of all of that.
Oh, yes, very much so.
And it's interesting that, each of you volunteers with an organization that is international, in a sense, and also very local. You know, and that phrase, around the world, across the street, comes to mind. The Red Cross and Habitat for Humanity, these are I guess, global initiatives.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, and in Habitat's case, it's interesting to note the type of housing is very different. Here we're building the most economical single-family home that you can build. That's sort of the standard here. In Guatemala, we're building a row of concrete, almost from our point of view, you'd almost look at them almost like bunkers, but they represent a really good standard of living, and we can produce a lot of them for a relatively small amount of money, and it serves that market in a different fashion.
Mm-hmm. How long has Habitat for Humanity been
in existence?
Yeah,
it's I don't know the exact date, but it's in the 70s, so it's not that old an organization, and it was started actually in the U.S. and the concept of recycling building materials as a way to fund housing, and the idea that it's not for the homeless. The fact that we're aiming at a another segment of the market is a different concept, and it turned out that the model works. It's a bit complex because we don't give away the house. We're not actually allowed to do that from a tax point of view. But what we do is the person actually buys the house, but there's no interest charged, and it's set up so that a low income person can in fact afford the house paid over a period of time.
It's kind of a genius idea.
We could use about 20 million
of those.
Yeah,
I think.
That's the frustrating part.
Yes.
You can only build so many of these things. Now, we've just to throw in a bit of a plug here. We have are just going to be starting soon a duplex right here in Nanaimo. So that's good. I mean, at least we've got two units going at once. And that's another little element, too, that I forgot to mention before, is that a large percentage of the building materials and the labor to build these houses is donated. So, again, you've got another aspect of community involvement where people are in there working on the house, even if they're not experts in the particular area. We've got local businesses that are contributing labor and materials. So it's amazing how involving the thing
and I'm
is.
Sure you accept cash donations as well.
Yes, we've been known to do that, yes.
What we do is as soon as there's a crisis, what just floors me is, like, next day, we're set up to take the donations. I've never seen such a response. You know, when we had the China earthquake and the tsunami, and it was like, we were there, and where did you want the money to go? People were walking in with donations, and they were, because I'm on the reception desk, it was like, people were phoning in, where can I donate blood? And it was just amazing to me, like, how fast the Red Cross responds. And donations, and it was just wondrous to see.
You're listening to People First Radio. We've been speaking with two community-minded volunteers who have worked to help the Canadian Red Cross and Habitat for Humanity make a difference. Linda Sampson and Jim Eagle are in the studio with us today, and we just have a moment left in our segment today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add as we move into National Volunteer Week in a couple of weeks, or if there's anything you'd like to share about your experience in volunteering, Linda.
I would suggest that Red Cross always needs volunteers. We always need donations. And it's just a wonderful place, the whole concept, to help those that are in need. And the more, the better.
Jim Eagles.
Yeah, another shameless plug again for our same message, and that is we're keen to get donations of building materials. The store out at Mostar is where everything is centered, so you can bring any used building materials out there. Any younger people in the audience, I've been trying to get high school folks to get their go and dig the stuff up and convince your parent to bring it out to the location there.
And spring cleaning.
Yeah. Spring cleaning would be a good excuse.
Well, we'll remind people from time to time. We'll give you a plug, too.
Thank you.
But we'd like to thank you both for coming, and sure appreciate you taking the time. And it's always interesting information for our listenership, too. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thanks very much. This has been the second of three segments we're presenting over 3 weeks, which focus on volunteerism in our community, called From Compassion to Action. National Volunteer Week is held in Canada and the U.S. from April 19th to 25th.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Open Minds, Open Windows Society, both of Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations.